listening to The Radiator, 105.9 FM, WOMMLP, Burlington, Vermont. I'm Shayla Shapiro, and this is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. Write the Book features interviews with authors, poets, illustrators, agents, and editors. And today on Write the Book, you'll hear an interview with Tamar Cole, who's a Vermont writer and writing coach. Tamar Cole has been writing for over 30 years. She's had various screenplays optioned for production, and her original plays have been staged in places like New York City. Her play, Rhymes and Reasons, was a finalist for the O'Neill's National Playwrights Conference. She has written for the television serials General Hospital, Loving, and Another World. She produced the short film In a Blue Mood for Everybody Works Productions, and she has worked as a creative director for a full-service advertising and marketing company, and as a creative consultant. She's also a certified mediator and a criminal defense investigator. Tamar leads writing and screenwriting workshops, and she works as a private writing coach, offering personalized suggestions for writers who need help beginning, continuing, and ending projects, or just defining their goals and identifying tools to help them find their way from concept to completion. When I spoke to Tamar last week, I asked her to talk about how she became a writing coach.
It was just a very organic thing. I grew up in a family of writers, been surrounded by writers all my life. Spent tons and tons of time reading first, second, third, fourth, fifth drafts of things. And then I worked in a number of different genres as a writer. And had lots of friends and people who were writers that were always giving me things to read. And because of my own experience in the world of writing, I have a lot of empathy for people who are really driven to write, but are, you know, I'm constantly hearing people say, I really want to finish this novel, but I've been working on it for 10 years, or or people who are journalists who want to do, well, people who are journalists who want to do a novel, people who are novelists who want to do a screenplay, people who are switching sort of what they're writing, but are really stuck, and people get stuck for lots and lots of different reasons. So first I was just doing it, you know, just organically.
Working with friends?
It just was a role I played. Like, some people are listeners and some people are. And then at one point I decided to really, when coaching, just career coaching, became a thing, I thought, I worked up a thing called Right Now. And it was a 3-day workshop I partnered with a career coach. And we had this whole 3-day thing, which I still do occasionally, you know, where we dealt with the whole gamut of what are your goals? How do you just simple things like getting people to say, I am a writer. I mean, the hardest thing in the world,
right,
for people to say, even people who are quite successful at it. And then from there, I just started just word of mouth and getting individual clients, which is what I prefer. So it just happened very organically. It was not something I pursued. It's something I really enjoy.
Now, you lived away from the area for a period of time and then came back.
I grew up in New York City, and then I ended up here sort of like people do, by accident. Spent, 16 years here, raised my kids here. I called myself a Goddard College drop-in. I didn't go, but my husband did. And then, really, I wanted to get back to New York City, but my husband was more, he designed houses, and we ended up in on the eastern end of Long Island in Sag Harbor. So I was there for quite a while and just moved back here 2 years ago. Happily made the choice to come back.
And the Right Now workshops, were they in Long Island?
I have not done any of them here.
Okay.
I'm just
curious.
I've just been doing individual coaching.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So in your coaching, do you edit any of your clients' work? Do you work with them to edit?
I If they need me to, because that's not what everyone needs, I don't work as an editor, but I will very much work with them on structure. I will read and help them with what's confusing, what's not working, what's not coming across. You know, what do they want the reader to get, mm-hmm. and what I think is there. And
so, when you say you're not an editor, you sort of mean like line editor.
I'm not a
copy editor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a copy editor, and I'm not going to edit a book to make sure every tense is right and all that kind of thing. But
yeah.
But I definitely, some clients I don't read what they're writing at all. It's really more the process that they're struggling with. Lots of people I read, and I, again, help them really with what is it you really want to be doing here, because you've now skipped out of this whole thing and you're on to a whole other topic, and maybe that's not what, you know, maybe
right.
it is what you want to do, maybe it isn't, but let's talk about it.
Sure.
So in that way, I don't call it editing, but it's there's definitely working on the content.
Yeah. And then how about the publishing process? Do you get involved at all with that?
Really, I don't. I mean, if, you know, that's such a complicated
yep.
thing. So I certainly don't get involved with saying, oh, I'll get this to an editor. I mean, occasionally. If
yeah.
I know the perfect person to connect someone with, of course I will. But that's not, you know, I talk to people about options, like, you know.
What are the steps you need to take?
What are the steps you need to take?
Yeah.
And also that there's so, right now, there's so much, it's, you know, great writers aren't being published. You're kind of lucky if you get published now. But there are, and lots of people are getting published. I mean, it's not at all a negative thing, but it's tough. It's
yeah.
a tough world. It's very hard to get an agent. An agent basically wants a seller. They're not like, you know, the old school where they really were developing writers. And unless you're very, very lucky and you find someone like that. But there are so many other ways to go now that used to be, you know, really looked down upon, that I think are very positive now. I mean, self-publishing and online, e-books, you know, first of all, very successful people are now doing it rather
right.
than having these, you know, corporations, which is what the publishing companies sort of have become, control what gets written and what gets published and what doesn't. And There's people who have had great success
yeah.
publishing online, self-publishing.
I think that's something that people need to consider. I don't push people in that direction, but certainly
I think it's a very viable option now.
Yeah. And you know a little bit about that process to
yeah.
help people get started?
Yeah.
And, yeah. Okay.
Definitely.
What kind of person tends to come to you for help?
It's very eclectic. I get calls from all kinds of people.
Okay.
And I often don't take on just everybody who calls me, but what I do is I pretty much meet with anyone who calls me for like a half an hour of you know, completely free, just sit down and then see if I think and if they think it will work. And but I mean, I just got a call from a 92-year-old woman who very completely mentally coherent and has very, you know, really wants to do these memoir stories of certain things, particularly soon, because she doesn't know how long she'll be around. That was an unusual call, and I don't know that I will end up actually working with her. We're going to meet and see. Some people call who have really never written, and I want to write a novel, and I meet with them, and sometimes I end up I think inadvertently discouraging them because they have these huge. Like I met with one person who was, he was a doctor, a young doctor. He had a great, you know, idea for a thriller, medical thriller. But he had never written anything. And he wanted to, I think we met in September, and he wanted to have the whole book done by January. And I kind of gave him a reality check. I don't know if that was the best way to go. I maybe should have slowed it down a little, but I explained that you can write a book in that short a time, but this is how many pages a day you have to do, and you know, and all that kind of stuff. Mostly the most successful people I've worked with are people have really been writing, but they're really stuck.
Yeah.
And they're either stuck because their life is too chaotic and they haven't figured out how to make writing a priority, or they're stuck because they're doing a completely different...
They're going, like, from journalism to saying, writing a novel, and they're...
kind of all over the place, and they're not sure how to structure it. But mostly it's people who have been writing, but who are really, they're just all over the place, and they just don't know how to...
Rein it in.
And then I deal with the different, there's like a three-prong approach. You know, one is... what's your goal? What's your big goal? What is it you want to do here? What are your writing habits? Where do you write? What's your, space? So, how we begin is figuring out, talking about what is it you really want to do? What is it you're doing? What's your goal? What have you been doing on it? What are the problems that have come up? And those problems are very often not just within the story, but within the circumstances of either not saying to themselves and their people they live with and work with, I need 2 hours a day and this is what I'm going to do, and I need the house quiet, or I need to find another place to work, or how you really make the commitment to that writing, that what you want to do in writing is as important as anything else.
Yeah.
And we're certainly not living in a time where the arts are, Vermont's is a little different, but certainly it's how do you make money as far as the society goes. And you might never make money with a writing project or any artistic project, but I think they're the most important things human beings leave behind.
Yeah.
So really trying to help people bring respect to their need, or they wouldn't be calling me, or they wouldn't be, struggling with this if it wasn't super important to them.
Do you ever find that someone's coming to you for the wrong reasons? And I'm not even sure what I mean by that, but one thing that I'm thinking is that somebody's coming to you rather than just getting down to work.
One of the things I don't believe exists is writing block. You never heard of miner's block or carpenter's block or doctor's block. I mean, it's... writing is very, 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 very hard. It can be wonderfully fulfilling. But unlike everything else, you have nothing, you don't have any tools, you don't have smells and colors like artists do, you don't have canvases to stretch. I love being in artist studios because there's so much tactile and, aromas and colors and all this stuff, but as a writer, you got nothing.
Yeah, you got to create all that stuff.
And a blank page is very, very, very hard, and it's particularly hard with creative writing, because with journalism you have a spine of something, and so you've got that to work with, but. Purely creative work is really you've just got yourself. So your question about do people come to me for the wrong reason, is it just that they have writer's block? I encourage people to be very sort of strict with themselves and really stick to a schedule. And otherwise, there's no point in them even working with me, because yes, there are times when you're working on something and you really are stuck. But there's a reason for it, and that's one of the things we can get to in the writing coaching. You know, sometimes it's that you're at a part of whatever that makes you uncomfortable. You know, whatever you're writing, whether it's, you know, journalism or fiction, or really makes you uncomfortable. You don't want your neighbor to know this or whatever, and so you think you're blocked, or you think you're, but it's just you have to get back to the table, and you've got to put in that time, and something will come out. And I'm a big believer in, you know, even if you sit 2 hours a day, but you don't do anything, but you don't even have to write, but you can't do anything else, you will write, and work will come out, and it will progress.
Now, you've mentioned that figure a couple times, 2 hours a day.
I mean, that's just, I don't know, I just threw that out. But
is that what you expect of yourself when you're doing your creative work?
One of the reasons I think I'm a good writing coach is that I've struggled with all this myself.
Yeah.
And I have great empathy for it. And I, you know, wanted to write, and I had kids and a husband and jobs and, you know,
thought
I couldn't get to the writing and made myself miserable. And in retrospect, I was wrong. You know, I was wrong to waste that time.
Do you follow your own advice? Do you do a certain amount of writing
so
every day?
So when I am most successful writing, I pick a time of the day.
And I sit down and I do it.
Regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I do follow my own advice when I follow my own advice. And I'll take, you know, 2 or 3 hours a day, and I find that I am, you know, 100% successful when I do that. And that's also because I think that writing is sort of like, it's like a dream, like when you're dreaming at night and you wake up and you remember the dream really, really well, and 10 minutes later it disappears.
Yeah.
And it disappears and disappears as the day goes on. And if you're working, again, I think more in fiction than nonfiction, but still, and you're on a, you know, you've got a certain story going and characters, and you're in that space, and you let a week go by, you're going to have a very hard time getting back to it.
Right.
And, you know, not to say that if you're working every day, you won't have days when it all seems like crap, but, you know, you write a page a day, at the end of a year, you're going to have 300 pages.
I know, isn't that amazing?
And that is amazing, and that's something that, you know, really is true. And then, you know, if it's, you've got some junk in it, you can go back and edit it, but at least you have something to work with rather than something you've been thinking about.
And it's funny because you mentioned before how a journalist will have the spine to start working with, and in a way it's like we keep coming back to fiction, a fiction writer who works on a page a day, by the end of the year they have a draft.
Right.
And then that, at that point, they have that they can work with.
Right. And so, then there are, speaking of the spine of a story, I don't personally do this, but there are people who need more of an outline.
Mm-hmm.
And when I feel, when it seems like that would help, you know, I work on that with them. Sometimes people really need to write bios of the characters so that they can, you know, really have them fleshed out in their minds, and know what they look like and all that. It's different. It's really different with everyone. But as far as somebody coming for the wrong reasons, which I know exactly what you mean, that gets fleshed out right away. I mean, it's, writing is work, and if people want to produce, they need to work, and if they can't get to it, there's not much point in it.
And you're not a ghostwriter at all, is that correct? Like, if somebody comes to you and says, I have a great idea for a novel, but I don't have time to write it, and I want somebody to write it
as a partner. If they pay me enough money, I do that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't, that kind of thing, I have done some of that. But no, that's not my
primary
yeah.
focus. Okay. Is there, do you think, in your opinion, is there any specific link between creativity and the inability to create or to produce work? In other words, are creative people more likely to have these problems than carpenters and miners, you know, as you were saying before?
Well, I think yes, because of the nature of what's reflected back in our society. I mean, a carpenter is not going to, I mean, a creative carpenter, just someone who's doing creative work or someone who's going out to work?
Well, and that's a good point, because carpentry can be very creative, can it?
Everything can be creative, but the
right.
difference is when you're, you know, if you can imagine a world, and there are countries that do this, where artists are actually paid just for being artists, it would create a very different, you know, confidence in the person who wanted to be an artist. Here, it's a rare parent who will encourage their child to go for becoming an artist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always, get your engineering degree and then you can do your music on the side or it's not always. There are families that do encourage. But I think one of the reasons people have trouble, those people who do, there are those very, I think, lucky people who are very focused from a very young age. I don't necessarily think they're more talented than anyone else, but they have that focus and they just pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are successful always.
Mm-hmm.
So those people are in a different category, but the most, that's what it takes. It takes, I mean, the writers I know that are most successful write 8 hours a day, and they produce, and they've done this all their lives, and they make it work.
Yeah.
But when you have someone who has that desire, but it hasn't been encouraged, and I have to say, particularly women, you know, maybe that's changing, but, you know, who have the whole family scene, they're also working, they have children, they have constantly feeling, you know, guests coming, so they feel they can be interrupted in a way that often men don't, you know, they don't let themselves be interrupted.
Yeah,
like
they're
that.
Better they at carving out that time for themselves.
They are. I mean, I think that's, hopefully that's changing more and more with the, you know, younger generations and the way things have changed, but most of my clients are women.
Yeah.
And they, most of them suffer from a lack of confidence in what they're doing, a real struggle with finding a way to say to the guests who are there, you know, I write every morning, and so I'm going to go off and do this, and I'll be back, just
yeah.
like they would have had a job.
Yeah.
So I think the link between struggling creatively and not struggling with other work, lots of very, very talented people are highly proficient at lots of jobs. And it's one of the things that came to me that I realized that if I'm putting in so much time and energy in all these different, very interesting jobs I do, why don't I just apply that energy just for a year to writing and see what happens? And always when I've done that, things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know if you're going to get paid. You don't know if everyone's going to say you're an idiot. You don't know, everyone could hate it, but, so, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's the process that matters.
I wonder if self-publishing will help people get past that to some extent, because you don't have to go through the filter of an agent, and you don't have to go through the filter of getting accepted by a publisher, and so really it's all about whether you accept your own work before you go ahead and put it out there in the world.
That's true. And then, but then even with self-publishing, the most successful self-publishers are those who are able to really market it.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other talent.
Yeah. I came up with a list of possible reasons that a writer might be having trouble, and I wondered if I could get your quick take on these. So one of them that I was thinking of is fear of failure and fear of success. Do you have opinions about those?
Yeah, so I actually believe with many people it's fear of success. I think fear of failure is obvious, you know. It's just an insecurity. I think the bigger issue is what does it mean if you're really successful? What does it mean if this really works? And how are you going to, if you haven't defined yourself as a writer, if you haven't yet, and then, which would be the only kind of person who would be struggling in this way. I mean, if you're already a best-selling writer, you might not be published for, you might have three books that don't get published. That happens all the time. But, and you might feel horrible and you might be, really lose your confidence, but it's not the same as someone who has this talent and hasn't really, set up their life so that they could use it. And so they struggle with how they define themselves.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How about subject matter, coming up with subject matter? Do you see that that happens a lot, or do you think mostly people have subject matter and that's not the biggest problem?
I think in my experience with writers in general, some people struggle with the subject matter, but when people come to me, they have a very specific thing they've been wanting to do, and they're not, and they either have half of it done, and they've had it that way for years, or they can't get started, or they can't finish it, or so yeah, I would say people who come to me have a very specific story they're trying to tell.
Okay. So do you offer your clients any prompts or writing exercises to help them?
I really work with everyone very differently. So I do it with, I don't do that regularly. I do it when I think somebody needs it and they want, and I offer it, and if they want it, I do it. And it would mainly be things like helping them figure out how to structure, how to write character, backgrounds, bios. If I were running a class, I would do the things where you, everybody writes six lines on one, you know, you give them a word and they write, just to get people's juices running. But again, when people come to me, they mostly are in a project or have a project that they really want to do, so the tools I would give them would be around that project. If they're doing a screenplay and they don't understand screenplay structure, which is really like putting a crossword puzzle together. I mean, there's the story and the characters, but then how you put it together. Then I work with them on just creating scenes and acts and all that kind of thing.
Okay.
So I really work very individually with each, based on what I think they need.
Okay. What are the biggest mistakes that you see writers making?
Two. One is something we did touch on a little bit before, which is coming to a point in a story where they go off really on a wild tangent. Not that every story needs to just stick with just what it's about, but sometimes I find people really come up against something they're really, really uncomfortable with writing, but they don't realize it, and it's part of the story, and they do everything to avoid that. And so that's one thing that's an interesting part of the process. It's like really examining why that happens. Another thing is sometimes writers pick a completely wrong genre to tell their story in.
Mm.
Sometimes, often people want to write a screenplay because it's the new gold rush. It's like, oh, I'm going to write a screenplay and make millions of dollars, which a screenplay is a very particular form, and unless you're going to direct it yourself, it's really a blueprint. It's a very different kind of thing. And it's really not a writer's medium.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas playwriting is, for instance.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's wonderful to write a screenplay. But you have, I think there's a lot of information about the whole film world that people need to know about before they
can do it.
Well, or before they waste their time. I mean, like, and some stories are very novelistic and really don't lend themselves to a screenplay.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa.
Right. Like, you hear about a movie that's coming out and you think, I read that book. How are they doing that?
Well, they're doing Anna Karenina, which I refuse to see. It's my favorite novel, and I don't care how they're doing it. It can't be good.
Okay.
But sometimes they succeed, very successfully translated.
Yeah. So, Tamar, do you have any suggestions for listeners who are having trouble getting and staying organized with their project?
Those are the people who do get in touch with me.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has trouble being organized now and then, but if it's really, people go to physical trainers, they go to chiropractors, they go to doctors. This can be very, very, very helpful to people who really want to get something done and are really having trouble. The other, like I said, thing that I do believe in and is make yourself carve out time, sit down, and respect your desire to do the work,
mm-hmm.
and do it. And it's wonderful, and some people absolutely love writing. Lots of people find it very, very hard.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact about writing.
So we're almost to November, and I'm wondering if any of your clients have done NaNoWriMo or National Novel Writing Month, and if you're a fan of that, or if you're not a fan of it, or...
I actually have to confess I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, okay.
One of those things where you write a novel in a month?
Yes.
I actually am not a fan of those things. They have a playwriting thing, too, where you write a play in 24 hours, or I don't know how long that they give you, and I think they're wonderful if people respond to them, but I think that's just another sort of contemporary way of getting around the fact that writing, if you really want to write, it needs to be part of your daily life. You need to I'm just not a fan of these modern kind of let's make a 2-minute movie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
crank it out.
Crank it out and marathon. And I think, writing isn't typing. It's not just putting words out. And I think it takes thought and it takes a voice that's really in you that needs... I mean, to me, that's what's interesting about writing, not just... And I think one of the mistakes I think people make, and I find this more in playwriting, and I don't know if it's just that's what I've noticed in playwriting and certainly screenwriting, speaking of mistakes people make, is that they don't take the time to figure out what story they really want to tell. And they come up with some very contemporary, big concept, or reenactment of the Civil War, or big, big stories that are completely outside of what has to have driven them to want to sit down and write. And, of course, there are great historical novels, and so nothing I say... Do I mean to stick in concrete? You can write a great historical novel. You can write a great science fiction novel. But when that's where you're beginning, I'm often a little suspicious of it. And I often try to work people back to, okay, that's fine that it's science fiction. I happen to love science fiction. But what is the germ of the story that you're really telling?
Mm-hmm.
So that it's organically involved with the science fiction. And I know one of the things I object to about teaching you know, how people work with young writers, and is that they, well, not how people work with young writers, but certainly lots of young writers want to do that kind of thing, want to
right.
have a big, huge Battlestar Galactica thing. And when I work with them, I really encourage them to tone it down and tell a story that where their voice can be heard. The other thing is, a lot of these writing workshops, and there's, you know, MFA programs, all these writing workshops are producing beautiful writing, often without a real voice, you know. And there are people who just love words, and that's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But my interest is in, you know, the need to tell a story, some, you know, and
right.
not...
Interesting about the authorial voice as
yes.
opposed to necessarily the character's voice.
Or and not necessarily the beautiful, structured sentence
mm-hmm.
that that doesn't resonate.
Yeah.
Because I think the great writing and the important writing is... told from a very personal voice, and then it can resonate with hundreds and hundreds of people.
Mm-hmm. You just mentioned MFA programs, and that reminded me that I wanted to ask you about your opinion of writing groups and workshops
mm-hmm.
and groups of writers
mm-hmm.
coming together to support each other in different
right.
ways.
Well, I think it's great when groups of writers come together to support each other. I mean, I always wanted to be in Paris and... you know, the 30s and 40s when they were all gathered around the cafes at the end of the day and chatting with each other. But, because writing is very isolating and it's very helpful to just share experiences and all that. Writing groups, I think, can be very helpful and not good. And same with writing courses. I think... Again, I think the writer needs to find a way to really quiet themselves down and hear their own voice and their own story.
Mm-hmm.
And so writing groups where everyone chimes in with an opinion that isn't being either led by someone who controls that or where the group hasn't come to an understanding that what's useful to a writer is, this is what I meant in this scene. What did you get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's completely different from what, you know, if everybody's saying, well, that, no, I thought it was this or that, then you go back, you have something to pay attention to. But I think the beginning process of writing creatively is a very delicate process, and I think that you need... not to hear a million voices or even 10 voices. I think writers need to know who they can trust to read their work and for it to be really helpful. And so I think certain writing groups are great, but you have to know what you're looking for when you go sit down in the group. And sometimes you need to be able to say, I'm not going to read this week because... it's not ready to be read.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people read something that's very unformed, and then you get opinions,
right,
it's going to really take it in another direction. And then there are a lot of writers that are so insecure that they really, you know, whatever anyone says, they start rewriting. And I think that's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So some writing groups are great, and some writing groups, I think... are not helpful, and I think it depends more on the individual,
mm-hmm.
and how the group is formed and organized, and also who the people are who are in it.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned your own writing a couple times, that you've worked on screenplays. Have you written plays as well?
I've written plays, screenplays.
And so, what are you working on now? Are you working on anything particular?
I just finished a play,
uh-huh.
and I'm actually. Working on a book. This is the first time I've ever done this. A very a crime novel with a partner.
Oh, okay.
And it's interesting. It's a lot of fun, and it's it might even be commercial.
How are you doing that?
It's tricky. It's a story that is driven by two different characters, and so we've each taken, and we're going chapter by chapter. So we're writing every other chapter.
Okay.
And then we're going to have to. It's working. We didn't know that it would work. We just read out loud a bunch of it, and it sounds like a similar voice.
Do you know what's going to happen in your partner's next chapter?
Yes, very much so. In this case, we wrote a very strict outline and character development. We couldn't have done it unless we did that, because otherwise, this is a very specific story, very specific characters, a very specific outline.
Okay.
And I never have written like that.
How can a writer stay inspired despite how difficult this business is? Do you have thoughts on that?
I do. I think the best way to stay inspired is to be writing.
Mm-hmm.
I think, when you spend a couple of hours writing, you always feel something comes and happens that makes you feel connected and inspired to do the next thing. Whereas if you're thinking about it and not writing, there's this spiral of frustration, and I think I don't think a writer can spend their time thinking about the end result. I think that's another process when the thing is finished. And so I think you remain inspired by the process of writing.
Mm-hmm. I know your other line of work is mediation.
Mm-hmm.
So does that overlap at all with this sort of work, or...?
Well, it comes from a similar thing in me, which is that I'm interested in the human experience and the human process. And
with mediation, you're working with more than, obviously, you're working with a group of people. And but it's about what lies beneath, what's going on, in mediation, there is a focus on what is it. What's the goal here? What do you want? What do you want? Where do you? Where can we find common ground? And then how can we sift down into making it work for both parties? So that work is very interesting, and I think very similar.
Mm-hmm. And also, I do investigation. It's also kind of thing. It's
criminal investigation,
yeah.
Do you do that for police departments or
no?
For...
I do it for the defense, for criminal defense.
Okay,
I've done a lot of different kind. I have worked for enforcement, too, civil rights enforcement, but mostly it's been criminal defense. But I've juggled a lot of different. But they all come. They do have a certain similar theme, which is. You know, the human condition, what's underneath, what's really happening.
But you're not writing detective novels, you're an investigator.
I actually don't like detective novels.
Oh, wow.
I love Sherlock Holmes, and I love Nero Wolfe, but all the detective novels that everyone loves, I don't know, I get bored with them. But this book that I'm writing with this friend who is... she's a judge, and I have the criminal investigation background. It's about a horrific crime, and so it's a crime novel.
Okay.
And the screenplay I wrote that got the most attention was based on a murder case I worked on. So I have used that
work.
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned Anna Karenina as being a book that you would love. Any others or anything recently that you've read that you've loved? What's on your bedside table right now?
Oh, a book on the new Jim Crow. It's a nonfiction about the prison system. And then also a book by Samuel Beckett on Proust. But what have I read recently that's a novel? The Russians, I love the Russian writers. And contemporary writers, the master, Colm Tóibín.
Oh, yeah.
Who I love.
All right, great. So, who who's a writer working today whose work habits you admire? Do you know anything about the work habits of the writers that you
admire? Yeah, I don't want to name names, but the writers that I admire are writers that really do spend the day writing.
Yeah.
But they are the people I spoke about. You know, they're people who I think were fortunate enough or whatever to be focused enough to see it as a job from an early age, but they work. I admire them tremendously. Writing 8 hours a day, 7 hours a day, every single day is an enormous undertaking,
mm-hmm.
and they're very productive, and they're quite successful.
Are they making a couple of big projects a year? I mean, I would think that many hours a day. My goodness.
No, I mean, some of them are novelists, and they it takes years to write a novel.
Yeah. Even
a I would say the people I admire most are novelists who sit there and just really write all day. I find it, I have a lot of respect for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today. It was really a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Tamar Cole. To learn more about her coaching services, you can contact her at tamarcole21@gmail.com. This week's Write the Book prompt is inspired by a prompt that Tamar Cole has used in her writing workshops. She offers a word and then has participants write 6 lines about that word or influenced by that word. So let's do that. In honor of Hurricane Sandy, the word for this week's prompt is storm. Think about the word storm and write 6 lines or more. Good luck with this prompt and tune in next week for another. Write the Book has a Facebook page. If you're a Facebook user, please like us. If you're interested in sharing this show with out-of-town friends, let them know. They can stream it live at theradiator.org every Monday from 2 to 3 p.m. Archived episodes of the show are also available on iTunes and at writethebook.podbean.com as free podcasts. If you have comments about the show, if you want to send me a writing prompt to suggest, if you have news about book-related events, or if you want to recommend a guest that I should try to interview, please send an email to writethebook@gmail.com. And please always remember that this station is here thanks to community support and involvement. More information about getting involved at The Radiator is available online at theradiator.org. This has been Write the Book. I'm Shayla Shapiro, and you're listening to The Radiator, 105.9 FM, WOMM LP. Burlington, Vermont.